listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. You're getting into our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for a lot of years, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And so we want to say hello to all you listeners that's been listening over the years. And I'm wanting to wish all of you a Happy New Year. This is the weekend of the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, and where they're going into the year 5780. It's hard to believe. But we're on our way, and so there's a lot of things we can talk about. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And it's an honor to be here with the WCNO, with the coverage that they have and the things that they allow to be on the program to be talked about. And so open your heart to receive what the Spirit of God has to say to you here today. And you might hear some things you've never heard before, or you might have heard something and heard it the wrong way. So we release the truth. We want the truth and nothing but the truth. Yeshua said this, when you know the truth, it will make you free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're glad to be here. I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey Walks over on Andros Island in the Bahamas. Their building's coming along quite well. We got we've shown pictures to a lot of people of what's happening over there. And so he's trying to get that building done by the end of the year. And so with your offerings and your prayers, he's going to make it. Amen. So if you'd like to give something to them, just make out a check to our church name, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip here is 34997. And mark on the check for Andros Island, and we'll make sure they get every penny of it. So we're honored to receive that for them. And also, while you're thinking about that, if you'd like to help us with our program, because this is not free, and if you'd like to, maybe you could buy 1 week worth of program. It's $165 a week, or a half a program, whatever, you know. It all helps. And so you can send it to the same address. And so we're honored to receive that, and it'll be for the glory of God, not for us, for any other reason. So hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. I want to say hello to Nick, our grandson. He's watching Pastor Gene.
Okay.
Your wonderful grandson who plays baseball.
Yeah, out in
Missouri. Got a full scholarship. Hi, Nick. Anyways, I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey as well. And we're just blessed to be able to see this church going up. And the roof is going on now. A lot of the wood is on the roof. And he's working very, very diligently and very professional. And it's a strong, strong structure. So hello, Roscoe and Audrey. We love you. We miss you. Wish we could see you. Hopefully we will be able to soon. Amen. I want to mention also we have Shabbat this afternoon at 2 o'clock in about an hour. So come and visit us. Today we are celebrating trumpets.
Trumpets.
Which is also called
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
So what does Rosh Hashanah mean? It means the head of the year.
It's the
new year.
So this is the new Jewish New Year. And it always falls on a new moon, and it will fall on Tishri 1.
That's right.
Which will actually be probably Sunday night, Monday, And Pastor Gene's going to talk about it. It lasts for 2 days. It's the only feast that lasts for, that comes on a 2 day, could be on 2 days. And those 2 days could be the 2 days that the catching away will happen
and
as
the,
well.
And the key thing is the only appointed time when it comes what?
On a new moon.
On a new moon.
All that's the rest the key of one. Them.
All the rest of them are different times of the year or month, I should say.
That's right. So it's always on a new moon because the Bible goes by a
lunar calendar.
Lunar calendar, and that's the moon, not the sun. Gregorian calendar goes by the sun, but God's calendar goes by the moon. And even when you come into the book of Revelation and the very end times when Jesus is going to come and catch the church away, those who are true believers in Jesus, or his Jewish name was Yeshua, HaMashiach, and catch us away. So that's going to happen, we believe, on one trumpets or one Rosh Hashanah.
And that's been a Jewish tradition for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. They believe from the Torah and the First Covenant and some of their Jewish writings that that day should be when we're caught away, or in other words, a resurrection out from among the dead, and the catching away should be on a trumpet, trumpets on one particular year. Now, as I say all the time, we know the time of the season, we just don't know what year we're on. So that's a part of the equation that's missing. But we could be off, couldn't we? Could it be this weekend? I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
It could be.
So we tell people to look up because your redemption draws
this,
nigh.
This year, could be that's next right. year.
Could be.
We need to be ready all the time.
All the time.
We never know when the Lord's going to call us home.
That's right.
So we always need to be ready to meet the Lord. And but on that particular Rosh Hashanah or trumpets, we're going to meet, if you're alive, you will meet him in the air. And Pastor Gene will talk about that because, you know, those the dead in Christ will rise first. And then those who are still alive will be changed, and
the
we'll
ones
meet,
that are in that are with the Lord, yeah,
we'll meet the dead in Christ in the air.
It's and with so the Lord, all of us.
We'll all be with the Lord, and He will take us back to heaven. Who knows? There may be. Remember, there were some saints that came up out of the grave during right after the resurrection.
That's right.
They may be with Him because it says it's going to be a cloud. Of witnesses, it can be cloud of witnesses, and you've talked about that before, Gene, Pastor Gene, about the cloud of witnesses. So, but we're going to have this celebration today, and you know what they do? They eat one of the things. We have a meal afterwards, but one of the things that they have is apples and honey.
Right.
Apples and honey. What is that? Apples and honey for? Well, the goodness and the sweetness of the Lord, and all those things that are really good. You know, things made with the. Delicious like milk, different things, apples and honey, and you know, sweet things. Amen.
Yeah,
because God is sweet and He's going to catch those away. He didn't say that we were appointed for the wrath of God.
Amen.
Because after that catching away, there's going to be a
wrath.
It's not going to be good, because what's holding back the darkness now? I mean, there's a lot of darkness now going on, and we can see that we are, and I believe we are in the days of Noah, when all kinds of sin was going on. How many babies have been murdered in our country, let alone in Israel, and other things, all the other things that God talks about that are abomination, right, Pastor Gene?
That's right.
And so those things, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse once the true believers are gone. What's going to hold back? What's going to hold back? You know, what kind of a president will we have at that time?
You better believe
what kind of people will be in charge.
Woo.
You know, we can see what the enemy's trying to do now with some people, and how they're trying to coming against the Constitution, coming against the truth of God's word, wanting to get rid of the Bible totally, wanting to destroy the Bible totally, and say, you know, it's not for today. They want to make up their own religion. What's going to be called? A one world religion is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one world religion. So we want to be ready when the Lord comes back to catch us away, and we want to be ready as well if we were to die before that was to happen. So come and celebrate with us today, the new year, the Jewish New Year, which is, what is it again, 5780, and we're going to have 2020, mm-hmm. you know, when January comes around. So, you know, but if you're on God's calendar, you're on a prophetic calendar, and God should be speaking to us according to the prophetic calendar, not according to the Gregorian calendar. So I want to give our phone number, and tell you where we're at if you'd like to come. We're right here in Stuart, Florida, and the address is 445?
445.
Southeast.
East. Osceola Street.
Street. 445 Southeast Osceola Street, and that's in Stuart, and it's right near the hospital downtown, and it's in the Alliance Church. It's a little white church. It's probably one of the older churches in Stuart. So it would be a landmark church. So it's right there in the Alliance Church. We rent their church, use their church with Pastor Jim Brocious. He's so gracious to have let us have that church on Saturday. So we're there every Saturday at 2 o'clock. So come and join us, and we always have a fellowship meal afterwards. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I believe we're going to have special music and dance this week today. And I also want to mention, before I give the phone number, is that the Bible Marathon, we had a few calls, people called about the Bible Marathon. The Bible Marathon is already in preparation.
Preparation,
In preparation. And actually, the board will be there to be, anybody wants to sign up for it.
This afternoon.
The board will be there this afternoon, so you can sign up for your reading, because the Bible Marathon, this is going to be the 19th Bible Reading Marathon at the Banshell in Stuart, Florida. If you've never heard about it, you want to get involved. Lots and lots of people have heard about it. Well, there's a proclamation from the city, from the county, and we're right there in, right on Ocean Boulevard at the Banshell, and we read the entire Bible. It takes 90 hours, 5 days, and from the very beginning to the very end, nonstop, 24/7, from the 11th of November till the 15th of November. And Eddie and Joanne Rodriguez are
coordinators.
And I don't really have their phone number right in front of me, but you can call me and I will give you their phone number. Amen. So our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Okay, Pastor Gene.
Okay. So I want to talk about these trumpets. It's called, everybody calls it Rosh Hashanah, which it is a new year. But the term in the Bible, that term is not in the Bible, Rosh Hashanah. But it's called what? The Day of Blowing the Shofars. And so I'm going to turn to my book. If you have my book, you might want to follow along. I'm going to go to page 43 in my book. And this is a summary about the trumpets, because trumpets are so vital in the Bible. And we hear it used so many times, but we have to be able to identify. Is it the first trump? Is it the last trump? Is it the great shofar? Which one are we talking about? So we think about this, according to the Jewish Talmud, in a section called Rosh Hashanah 16b, the resurrection of the dead will occur on a day called Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment, which is also on trumpets. This day is called the Day of Blowing of the Shofars. From very ancient times, the resurrection of the dead has been associated with the Day of Shofars, trumpets, in other words. We have mentioned in some of our teachings on this program, a man wrote a prayer book. It's called the Jewish Authorized Daily Prayer Book by Dr. Joseph H. Hertz. He has a statement in his book, and it says this. I'm going to quote it. And in the poetic conception of our later teachers, it was the sound of the great shofar, listen to that, that will on the last day rend open the gates, graves I should say, and cause the dead to rise. Thus, the messianic hope, the resurrection and immortality of the soul are intertwined with the message of what? The shofar. According to many Jewish scholars and ancient rabbis, the Day of Trumpets involves the sounding of the last trump. Today, those removed from the understanding of these concepts from Judaism, such as the last trump, tends to give his and everybody else's guess as to what the terms might mean. Most of them are wrong. In order to fully understand the scriptures and the gospels, epistles, and the book of Revelation, we must place these books back into their original Jewish context, defining each term, phrase, and idiom the way the original writer in his Jewish mode of thinking expressed it. Let's now read this. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians with me, with you. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is the resurrection chapter. Boy, I'll tell you, this is a good chapter. 15. We spent a lot of time over here, but it's very important that you might understand this during this season. So I'm going to read verses 50 through 55. Listen to this. Now this, Paul says, I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. And we're not all going to be dead, but we shall all be changed or transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Now here's another trump mentioned. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So quoted right out of the first covenant as well. So this sets it up. So we got to think about a note here. The use of the term last trump being used in connection with the resurrection of the dead. I want you to notice that, of the resurrection of the dead. Therefore, it should be realized that the ancient Jewish understanding of the resurrection of the dead would occur at a time known as the last trump, and this day is none other than trumpets, or better known today as Rosh Hashanah, the day of sounding of the shofar. That's what it says in the Bible. The announcement of the Messianic kingdom. But here's a good question that needs to be answered. From where does the phrase last trump come from? In Judaism, there are three recognized shofars, or ram's horns, or trumpets we know them as, called the first trump, the last trump, and the great shofar. These shofars are not to be confused with the two silver trumpets in Numbers chapter 10. The first trump and the last trump are related to the two horns of a particular ram. According to Jewish tradition, the ram that was caught in the thicket on Mount Moriah when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, remember that? And offer him up as a burnt offering. That's in Genesis 22:13. This ram became the substitute for Isaac, even as Yeshua, the Messiah, became the substitute for us and provided eternal life for us through his death. I want to read that again. The ram became the substitute for Isaac, even as Yeshua, the Messiah, became the substitute for us and provided eternal life for us through his physical death. The ancient rabbinical understanding of the ram's horns at Mount Moriah says that the left horn was called the first trump and was blown on Mount Sinai in Exodus 19:13. Let's go look at that. Let's go to Exodus 19. I'm going to go there real quick with you, and we're going to go to chapter 19. Exodus 19, verse 13, says this, there shall not be a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet or the shofar soundeth long, they shall come up to the mountain. So it's right here in the scriptures. And it's the right horn was called the last trump, which will be blown to herald the coming of the Messiah that we just read in 1 Corinthians 15:52. An interesting question was posed by one of the ancient rabbis, and a lot of people ask it even today. Was not that ram burnt together with his skin and flesh? How could this then be the source of the shofar blown at Mount Sinai? The answer is that God created or resurrected a new ram out of the ashes. That's incredible. Now the third shofar is called the great shofar, better known as the Shofar Haggadah, which is blown at the conclusion of Yom Kippur. What day is that? The Day of Atonement, in the last year of Jacob's trouble, revealing God's ingathering of the exiles at the Messiah's literal, listen, second advent to the earth. Now, I hope you remember, I talked about the terms that we use. When we say his coming, we talk about him coming in the air to what? Raise the dead from their graves, those that are in Christ. He's going to bring them up. He's going to meet them in the air, okay? And then we talk about the second advent will be when he literally comes back at the end with all of us onto Mount Moriah, as we read in Acts chapter 1. But I want to look at these two verses with you. I want you to go to Isaiah 27 with me. We're talking about the shofars and how important they are. So I'm going to go over to Isaiah.
When you talk about us raising us up from the ground, I've heard people talk about the rapture, which isn't in the Bible.
Right.
Have a rapture drill. You know, there won't be time for a rapture.
That's right.
Drill.
There won't be.
There won't be because it's no drill. It's when God's timing. See, God's timing is His timing is perfect.
That's right.
And God has everything set in place, and we can't change God's timing.
We sure can.
We can pray for things to happen. As far as the rapture, the catching away goes, but you know, it's going to be in His timing and His plan. And so, and it's going to be on His feast days. And we didn't mention this, but as you're going there, the first four feasts, Jesus already fulfilled.
All of them.
All of them.
The ones that are in spring.
To the letter. But the last four have not been completely. Have not been fulfilled. And those are the ones that are going to be fulfilled. So that's what we need to look at. We need to look at these feasts that happen in the fall, and they all happen within, 22 days? From beginning to end, 22 days. The exact number of letters that are in a Hebrew alphabet. I mean, you know, God has everything. He knows every number, every letter, everything He has, even the smallest letter. He talks about it. You know, not one thing's going to be taken away or one thing's to be added. Because everything, you can't make things happen, you can't add things. You can't take away. Well, it has to be exactly how God already has it planned. He had it planned from the very beginning. He's known all of these things all through the years, and He's had everything planned right from the beginning. And He tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, well, we can look right now and we can see that many things are as it was in the days of Noah, and maybe some things are even worse. Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
Okay. That's good. It is. He's got a timing, doesn't he? He's got an order, and nothing's going to change. So I took you over to Isaiah. I want to read chapter 27, verses 12 and 13. Now it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," what? The day of the Lord, "that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel." Now this next verse is a Yom Kippur verse, the Day of Atonement. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet, the shofar Haggadah, shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem." And then we go to chapter 24 in Matthew. Here's another reference to this. Verse 31 of chapter 24 of Matthew. "And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet," or a shofar, "and they shall gather together his elect, the Jewish people, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So remember, he's writing to the Jewish people here. So we want to keep that in mind. Now we need to note here, there's a difference between the last trump at trumpets or Rosh Hashanah, where the dead in Yeshua are resurrected, and the true believers caught away, and that of the great shofar blown on Yom Kippur, which will be what? At the end of Jacob's trouble. Where those that have become believers during the birth pangs of the tribulation are gathered from the four corners of the earth. Let's look at this. Go to your Matthew. Let's back up to chapter 13. Let's go to Matthew 13. Turn my page.
Here. As you're going there, we have trumpets today in our church.
Uh-huh.
And so there will be people blowing trumpets. So if you do come to visit, expect to hear the sound of the trumpet.
At the shofar, yeah.
At the shofar. And this is the actual ram's horn, mm-hmm, that you see right here in front of you if you're looking on Facebook. So you will hear these blown today. And also Bill is going to explain and make the sounds of the different sounds that there are, because there's different sounds for different things. And one of them is for war, and one of them is for praise and worship, and there's all,
and our assemblies being gathered
assemblies
together.
Assemblies being gathered together, and Pastor Gene will blow this sometime today while you're listening. Amen?
Amen. So now, we read those verses. Excuse me.
Where are you now?
I just read that. I'm sorry, I was looking at something else. Matthew chapter 13, I want to read 41 through 43 with you. It says this, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which are or which do iniquity. This is referring to the end of Jacob's trouble, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be what? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this will all happen at the end of Jacob's trouble. But remember, the church is out of the picture. I tell people this all the time. We read Matthew chapter 24. We read Matthew 13. He's referring, his audience is the Jewish people. The church is already gone at this time. You can read it in Matthew. It tells you that after the tribulation, you go read that. It'll tell you. Well, let's just do that real quick.
So the catching away has already happened seven years prior to this.
That's right.
And so this is after. This is the very last, at the end of the 7 years, this is going to happen.
That's right.
And we can see that when we go to the book of Revelation, because after the fourth chapter, is it, Pastor Gene? The church is already gone.
They're not in the picture. It's all about Israel.
The rest of it is about Israel.
Yeah.
Because God is going to deal with his people. And who are his people? Well, we are, of course, because we're in Yeshua. But his people are, when that is said, they're the Jewish people. He's going to gather them from the four winds. And he's going to deal with his people.
That's right.
They will have a chance to receive Yeshua, to be born again. To believe on the one that they didn't believe on, the one they turned away.
That's right.
And so, you know, Yeshua, Jesus came to his own, which were the Jewish people, and they received him not.
That's right.
And so, then what? The Gentiles. It says when the fullness of the Gentiles come in.
He's going to turn to Israel.
The church, he will turn back to Israel.
And God knows how many that will be.
And when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, that's when the catching away will happen.
That's right.
So are we close to that?
We're getting close.
Most possibly. Will people get saved during the rapture? Yes, because there's a lot of people that really are not looking for Jesus to come back. Maybe they don't even believe that's going to happen. Maybe they're a marginal Christian. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus, but they're not sold out. So we need to be sold out for the Lord.
I call them carnal. Those are carnal Christians, unspiritual.
And be looking for the Lord. Because,
right.
You know, the Bible talks about those who are lukewarm. And many of us could fall into that place from time to time in our life, but we need to keep our eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And
so
pray always, because the enemy, the devil, what does it say? It says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So that's his plan. But Jesus said he's come to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. That's in John 10:10.
So to prove that we're not here, in Matthew 24, verse 29, says immediately after the tribulation, okay, all these things are going to happen. Well, we're going to be gone. Of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So we got all kinds of proof on this with us in the Word of God. Now, with this understanding regarding the ram caught in the thicket, when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, we likewise can now see the prophetic implication, this is the key thing, of God's humble substitute for us, none other than who? Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. In fact, Genesis 22:7-8, Isaac asked his father, Abraham, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham answered him, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Isn't that amazing? He says he's going to provide himself. Now look at the note here.
And who is himself?
That's right.
Jesus, none other but Jesus.
It says, note that only the King James Version Bible does the true prophetic implications of what Abraham said to Isaac, his son, truly bring out the significance of God supplying himself as our sacrifice. I believe that Abraham saw into the future there on Mount Moriah and received a vision of the Son of God in his day. How do we know this? Yeshua himself said this in John 8:56. Listen to this. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad.
And who said that? Jesus himself said that.
That's right.
Because Jesus was, he knows, he knew Abraham.
That's right. So let's look at a couple other things now.
And you know, Abraham had visitations.
That's right.
He had visitations.
Let's go over now. I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians with you. We're talking about...
That's good. I like that.
About trumpets and all that. So I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians. There's been a lot of
thank you, Lord.
Been a lot of things taught in error with this as well, but I believe what I take it literally for what it says. I don't put anything else into this. And so Paul did the same thing. He wrote down what God told him to write down. If you read Galatians chapter 1, he was out in the wilderness all by himself. And he says, no man taught me these things. God taught him these things. Huh? Amen?
That's right.
Now, verse chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. We've heard this so many times, but let's look at this real close and understand what we're talking about, because a trumpet's going to be mentioned here as well. But I would not have you to be ignorant, verse 13, brethren, so he's talking to believers, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If we don't have Yeshua, we have no hope in this life or the one to come. We need him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, don't we all believe that? I believe it. Even so, them also which sleep or die in Jesus will God bring with him. He's going to the sky. He's going to be bringing them up. He's going to be pulling them out of the graves. And they're going to meet him in the air. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, Paul said, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to proceed before they do and fall asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now you notice it doesn't say he's going to come to the earth, does it? With the voice of an archangel and with the trump of God. Here's your last trump. And the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. Then we which are alive and remain what? In Christ shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another in these words. You notice it says we're going to meet him in the clouds. I don't think, you know why? There's going to be so many people coming from heaven to collect their bodies from the earth when that comes. It's going to look like a white cloud in the heavens when they get their white robes put on. Amen?
Wow.
It's amazing when I think about all of it. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And then he goes into chapter 5. I just want to look at one verse to start with. Verse 9. For God hath not appointed us, who's this now? The true believers in Yeshua, to wrath. What's the wrath? God's wrath during Jacob's trouble is going to come on the earth. But to what? Obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep again, we should live what? Together with him. Now,
I want to read verse 11.
All right, go ahead.
Because we need this. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. So we're to comfort each other, right?
Uh-huh.
And edify one another, even as also ye do.
That's right.
So what do we comfort ourselves about?
About this. That we're not going to go through this hell on the earth. That's what.
That's right. So we need to have that peace in our heart to know that we are going, if you know Jesus, if you're a child of God, you won't be here when that terrible tribulation time comes.
That's right. We'll be gone. And there are a lot of people telling you you're going to go all the way through that. Remember, it was called Jacob's trouble. Israel's name, Jacob's name was changed to what?
Israel.
Israel. It's their trouble, not ours. We're going to be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15, and I want to talk about this last trump a moment. There's been a lot of misunderstandings about this. Verse 51 of chapter 15. Behold, Paul says, I show you a mystery. It's something he hasn't revealed as yet. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to be dead, but we shall all be what? Changed or transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is on Tishri 1, trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. So let's think about that a little bit. On Rosh Hashanah, every year, they have 100 shofars that are blown during that particular day. They have a certain sound. Bill Visentine is going to talk about that in church this afternoon. There's a definite sound at 9 in the morning. There's one at 12 at noon, and another sound at 3 in the afternoon, which makes 33. 33 is 99, and then this last trump is blown at the close of Rosh Hashanah. So this is what he's telling us and showing us. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the last shofar that's blown on Rosh Hashanah, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed or transformed. This is a Rosh Hashanah or a trumpets scripture for us to understand the fullness of all this. And God wants us to know this. Amen. Now, if we go back to 1 Thessalonians, where we were at, we've talked about this a few times on the program, but people overlook this. I hear this all the time. Well, you better be careful. You know, he's going to come. He's going to catch you as a thief in the night. The Bible that I'm reading in front of me does not say that at all. So let's look at this. Chapter 5 says, but the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. So he's talking to believers again. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. This is where most of the teachers stop. He's always going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to catch you. Not if you're aware. Now look at this. For when they, who are they? Those that are outside Christ, outside the church, shall say peace and safety. What's that going to tell you? This is talking about Jacob's trouble when it comes. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. It's talking about Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Did you read that? Let's read that again. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. And so he's making it clear to us that we have a promise that we're not going to be here. But I don't understand how people twist these scriptures, especially in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and all, about this last trump. There's a trump blown right here. There's a trump blown in 1 Corinthians 15. And they all relate to the same thing. And God's going to call us home one day soon. And we're looking forward to that. We close our program every week with, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. Aren't you glad that your redemption draweth nigh? So we got to keep these things in mind as we study the scriptures and look at the whole context of what God's trying to tell us about this season that we're coming into right now. And so just think about it. Now, Sunday night and Monday, we're going to be talking about what? Trumpets. Could it be one of those 2 days? Why was it 2 days? Because back in those days, they didn't know for sure when the new moon appeared. So they'd have heralds go out on the mountain. And they would look and see for the first sliver of the moon. And they'd run back to the Sanhedrin, to the ruling body at that time. And what would they do? They would tell the head of the Sanhedrin, there's a new moon. He'd go out and verify it. And you know what he said? If it was true, he'd say, it's a born-again moon. It's a picture of Christ, us being born again as well.
Born again moon.
So we have some amazing and wonderful things to look at with all of this as well. And we will not be here when this all transpires. I get tired of hearing this all the time. It's all the time. It's on the radio, on TV with different groups. If they don't believe what the Bible says about it, why not? You know, if we're prepared, nothing will hinder us from coming to this place and being prepared. And we talked about this last week a little bit, about trumpets. It's also called the opening of the gates. Remember, on trumpets, on Rosh Hashanah, in Yeshua's day, all the gates were opened wide, and they were left open for how many days? 10 days, during the days of all, recalling people to come to God, and those that have drifted to Teshuvah, to return and to come back. And so that's also in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. It's a song we sing all the time, to return to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so all these things are just further evidence that the resurrection and the catching away of the believers in Yeshua will take place at trumpets. You know, there's a word, you know, we use the word rapture. Well, that's not in the Bible either. There's a Hebrew word pronounced natzal, N-A-T-Z-A-L. It means a sudden snatching or disappearance. That's what's going to happen real quick. Hallelujah. So aren't we glad that we know that? So there's a lot of other evidence. It's in my book if you don't have it. This book's available for $25 if you'd like to order this book. And you can look at any appointed time and get all this information that you need to know in a deeper way. And there's one section in there about further evidence that the resurrection should take place at trumpets. In Mark 13:32, there's a Jewish idiom which very few people today can understand without blowing I'm sorry, I'm thinking about blowing shofars. Without knowing the Jewish thought behind this idiom. First of all, what is an idiom? An idiom is an expression in the usage of a particular language that is peculiar to itself. The language here is Hebrew. Many may not know that the four Gospels were originally written in Hebrew, and then what? Then they were translated into the Greek language. So we look at these things and we say, wow, look what God's doing. He's showing us so much about all this. And so, hallelujah, I love it. So anyway, he's getting ready to come back. Well, could it be this year?
Possibility.
Possibility. But my personal study, I don't think so. I think we got a couple, 3 years to go yet. But when we get around 2022, 23, And why would I say that? Because it tells us over in Hosea chapter 5, the last verse, I think it's verse 15, it says that he's going to return to his place. Well, if he returned, he must have been there before. So who's that talking about prophetically? About Yeshua. Until what? They recognize what? They recognize their sin by rejecting the Messiah. And so he died for us in 30 A.D., okay?
Uh-huh.
And he went back to be with his Father. So if we go 2,000 years from that time, we come to what? 2030, which to me, what I've seen in the Word of God, will be the time that God's going to end his program, not with the church. The church has been gone. But he's going to end the program with Israel in 2030. So where does the church fit in? We back up 7 years to 2022, 23. That's when the church should go. Hallelujah. And then God's going to turn to Israel, as it tells us in what? In Romans chapter 11. Amen?
So you're gleaning this from the scriptures.
Right.
And you're looking at, because people used to look at it from his birth.
Right.
They used to count from the birth.
Can't count it from the birth.
So you're counting from his resurrection.
Right. And when he went back to be with his Father.
Went back to be with his Father. Mm-hmm. And so then you're counting, because it says after 3 days.
That's right.
Right. Right. After 3 days. And that's in, where's that at?
It's in Hosea.
It's in Hosea. After 3 days.
I'm going to turn it over there right
time,
now.
That means, that refers to after 3,000 years.
That's right.
So it might be 5 days after, might be 5 years after. It'll be a short time after that third day or that third thousand years. So we're very close to that time now, because like you said, if you count the number of days from his death, that would take us up to 2030.
It would be actually two prophetic days, 2,000 years.
2030. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't know, because the calendars have been played around with.
Right.
And we don't know exactly what. You know, it could be a year, 2 years, a few years off. They've been played with many times down through generations. But taking an estimate, and then so that would be the last tent trump when Jesus is going to put his feet on the earth.
That's right.
Not the catching away. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do then is, what you're saying is, we back up 7 years.
7 years.
And that will take us around 2022 or 2023, 2024, right. Somewhere in that time, you know. And we're going to be voting for a new president. And, you know, his name is in, this just came to me. His name is in the Bible many, many times. And it says the last Trump. Wow, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
The last Trump. So we pray that he will be the next president. Amen. So we need to, because I believe that his name, he has his reference to the last Trump, whether it's the Trump that we get caught away with, or if it's the last Trump at the end of the tribulation, because he's going to run. And then I've also heard that his son will run.
Could
after
be.
That. So we don't know exactly. We don't know, but we need to be, while we are here on this earth, we need to be light, and we need to speak truth. And we need to come against ungodliness.
Yeah.
And because, you know, here we have a president whose name is Trump. And he's loud like a trumpet, isn't he?
He sure is.
A trumpet is a loud instrument.
A lot of people don't like it,
but
it's good.
You need to blow this trumpet. A trumpet is a loud, loud instrument. Mm-hmm. And it makes a lot of noise. And sometimes it makes a long noise, you know. Well, our president's like that. He trumps, you know. He trumps out what he believes is true, and he's going along with Bible belief.
That's right.
Bible belief. Look at the schools. Well, there's prophecies in the Bible about the wall, about the trumpet at the wall. Well, he's put the wall up, isn't he?
Yeah.
He put it up without all these other people coming against him. Mm-hmm. It's going up now. And he's in many of the places, many different states are putting prayer back in the school. So that's a positive thing. When did all these wicked things start back in this? Well, they've been going on forever. But, you know, the Bible was taken out of the schools back in the 60s.
Yeah.
So to put that back in there, and he's coming against abortion. Well, you know, to stop that and to close all of abortion clinics and all, I mean, you know, this is what our president's doing. He's coming against the murdering of children. Bless you.
This cold air is getting to me.
Yeah, it's cold in the studio, so at the WCNO. So praise the Lord. Go ahead, Pastor Gene.
Well, I was going to, read.
You want me to read it?
I'll read it.
Okay.
In Hosea chapter 5, we find out that God was really upset with Israel, and he went away. It tells us that in verse 14. And then verse 15, we have another thought. I will go and return to my place. This is Yeshua. If he was here, he's going to go back. Till what? Until they acknowledge their offense. What was the offense? Rejecting the Messiah. And seek my face in their affliction. Affliction is referring to Jacob's trouble. They will seek me early. Now, chapter 6. Come and let us return. Let us teshuva unto the Lord, for he hath torn. He's going to be doing that during Jacob's trouble, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will what? Bind us up. Now, listen to this. Now, after 2 days. Now, this is not a period of 48 hours. There's nothing in this chapter about 48 hours.
That's right.
And after 2 days, will he revive us? So we're talking about a day in the Bible, which says that 1,000 years is like a day and a day like 1,000 years. So after 2,000 years, will he revive us? And it says, In the third day. He will raise us up. Now, most of these Bibles say... He will revive us on the third day. It's in the third day because it's going to be what? In the latter part of the year. He will what? Raises up. This is resurrection, okay? And we shall live what? In his sight.
Glory.
Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. Remember that rain means teacher of righteousness, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now if you notice here from Hosea 5:15, I have bold letters with 15. It's a new topic, and it ends right here in verse 4 of chapter 6. So this all goes together. Verse 4 said, well, that's a different topic in chapter 4. So from verse 15 of Hosea 5 to 6:4 is one topic, and then it changes to something else. So you got to put it into context, and I'm looking at it prophetically. Now, I'm not looking for a 48-day period here. I'm looking for something prophetically to show us about the Messiah, because everything in the Scriptures is referring to the things about the Messiah. And so we have to keep all those things in mind when we think about the prophetic implications of all these wonderful things that God's given us in the Word of God. And we know that God wants to hide Israel. He's said that many times. In fact, I'm going to take you over to... the little book of Zephaniah. It might be a small book, but it's sure powerful.
And I always have trouble finding that book.
I want to show it. You always have a trouble finding it?
Mm-hmm.
It's right after Habakkuk.
Habakkuk.
Right. And just before Haggai. All right. In chapter 2 of Zephaniah, this is another promise from God with Israel. But see, the only way they're going to have this happen is they have to accept his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that came and died for them. I'm going to start in chapter 2, and I'm going to read 3 verses. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. They were not desirous, in other words. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. So this is referring to Jacob's trouble again. Now listen to this. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Now, this is a Feast of Trumpets scripture. Seek righteousness and seek meekness. Now, listen to this. It says, it may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Pretty strong, huh? So he's got several places where he's talking about them being hid. It tells us that in Isaiah chapter 26. We see two verses at the end of chapter 26. The first one's about trumpets. These days we're coming into, and the next verse talks about Yom Kippur, which is 10 days later, and when God comes back. And a lot of people don't believe this, maybe, but they should. I believe that the Day of Atonement is assigned to Israel, and that's going to be the day that he's going to come back to this earth and literally put his feet on the Mount of Olives. I call that the second advent, not the second coming, the second advent. When is the second coming? When he catches us in the air. He calls us home. And we go to him in the sky. We never touch the earth at that particular time. We don't come back until the very end. Amen? So that thought.
Amen. Glory to God.
I'm going to go to Romans chapter 11 with you.
Okay. Look at
my Bible opened right up to that place.
So I say, as you're going there, come this afternoon and celebrate with us. That's at the Alliance Church,
mm-hmm.
our Shabbat service at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And come visit.
That's right.
That's at the Lions Church in Stuart, Florida, 445 Southeast Osceola Street.
That's right. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So you're in Romans chapter 11.
Chapter 11. Verse 7 says, what then, Israel, hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. He's talking about the ones that come from the Jewish people. Then verse 11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather that their fall, I'll get it straight in a minute, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, because they failed. We have an opportunity to come in. For to provoke them, what? To jealousy. They should have been first. Instead, they're going to come in last. That's what Jesus said. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? What would bring Israel's fullness except in the Messiah before this time of Rosh Hashanah trumpets that comes? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify in mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, which is the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The receiving of what? The Messiah of them. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, which are the Jews, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now here's the scripture, very important. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be what? Come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and all that. This is a Yom Kippur scripture here in verse 26. And down you go down to verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they, this is the Jews, are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, which are the Jews, they are beloved of the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's amazing, huh? God's plan.
God has a plan.
He sure does. I like what he says at the end here. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through what? Their unbelief, the Jews' unbelief. Even so have these, the Gentiles, also now not believed, that through your mercy also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, what? Jew and Gentile, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths.
Oh, the depths in wisdom and knowledge of God.
That's right.
How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're blessed to be here in WCNO this Saturday. And so come and celebrate Rosh Hashanah with us and have some apples and honey. Amen. This afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church here in Stuart, Florida. Pastor Gene's going to blow this ram's horn, and you're going to make a long blast. Whoa, that's a ram's horn. Go ahead. That's the truck.
As you look at this, this is the real ram's horn that we're going to hear. You see the people, these big long ones that are curved? That's a Yemenite. That's not the ram's horn that we're going to hear when the trumpet is blown at the end. This is what the last trump's going to look like, a real one.
Amen. Praise God. So come. Amen. I want to mention our phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. And if you haven't asked Jesus or Yeshua to come into your heart, you need to do that now.
What a great weekend to do it.
Time is short, mm-hmm. and we never know when our last
That's
breath,
right.
We will have. So we're just blessed to be here. We want to say, go ahead, Pastor Gene.
I just want to say,
Raising the Standard.
Raising the Standard. The program's called Raising the Standard, and we tell you as well always to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And that's the most important thing.
And we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace,
and rest.
Come
to the meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock and be blessed a little bit more. So God bless you and have a great day.
God bless you and have a great day. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. I hope this has been a blessing to you. And if you want Pastor Gene's book, you want to show that, Pastor Gene, it's $25 plus shipping and handling. And it has all the feasts of the Lord. Commentary about Daniel and the book of Revelation, and many charts in the back to help you to know more about the prophetic pictures and God's prophetic calendar. So we bless you and we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.
Hi, this is David Francoeur. I'm a producer here at WCNO. You know, God has given this radio ministry a big vision. It was this big vision that inspired almost three decades of building a solid foundation for broadcasting the gospel. The power of this godly vision still moves us to give you the best in Christian teaching and music every day of the year. You are a part of this vision because WCNO is a listener-supported broadcast ministry. You may have already received a letter announcing our fall prayer and share fundraising broadcast beginning Monday, October 21st. Your prompt response to this appeal will be greatly appreciated. And during the days of prayer and share, tune in to 89.9 FM and listen to God's ongoing vision for this ministry.